opening at Cinema Detroit in the Cast Corridor, not too far from our studios. Great local place to see film. Well, there's a film opening there that is unlike anything you've seen before, and that is not an exaggeration. It's called Neptune Frost. Neptune Frost is a critically acclaimed new film from poet and musician Saul Williams and Anicia Usumen, a Rwandan actress and film producer. The film is a dynamic, Afrofuturistic musical, and it tells the story of a group of escaped miners who form an anti-colonialist computer hacker collective in the hilltops of Burundi. They soon attempt to take over of the country's brutal authoritarian regime, which is exploiting the region's natural resources and, of course, the life of its people as well. Culture Shift's Amanda LeClaire spoke with Williams and Usumen about why this incredible film is a must-see this summer.
This has been a dream that has been a long time in the making. And so there's, I mean, the list of the bibliography of the film may be too long to list, but I can say one of the original informations when you talk about the mythos and mythology behind it, like, you know, Anicia talked about the avatar Patolo that visits our protagonist in the dream in early in the film and kind of, you know, connects them and propels them on their journeys. That, for example, that avatar, Patolo, is from the Dogon language from Mali. And it means, Patolo is the name of the star Sirius B, in fact. And of course, the Dogon of Mali, in their cosmology, they say that they come from Sirius B. And in fact, the Dogon numerological system is 01010101. And we were inspired to make connections between the virtual world and ancient mythologies in saying that we are the technology, we are the future, we have always been connected, just like we connect that idea of the drum being a means, you know, and it's not just the drum being a means of wireless communication, but the drum patterns is coding, you know, and how that, you know, transfers into modern times. All of the idea of this, I mean, when we say fossil fuels even, and we think of the rich resources in these places like the Congo, Rwanda, Burundi, these rich resources that the entire world, the Western world, is dependent on, you know, we say fossil fuels and people think of dinosaurs. But the fact is, we were inspired by the idea that if this land that holds all of these, you know, rare minerals that are so crucial, the uranium, the gold, the tantalum, the coltan, the cobalt, you know, all of these things, what if, you know, nowadays they're making smart tables that you just put your phone on and it charges. But does that mean that if we just sleep on this land that our ancestors walk on, slept on, are buried in, planted, you know, vegetables in, if we just sleep on this land, do we wake up charged? So it's also, you know, making connections there. And at the same time, I mean, I think of also like the fact that when we told this story to an elder Burundian woman who we were auditioning for the film, who was very religious and who we thought, you know, might be turned off by the story of this transformation, what have you. When we told her the story of the film, her response was, oh, that's an old Burundian folktale. I know this story.
No way. Wow.
Yeah, I think it contains also, you know, we said the present contains like the future and the past. And I think it's also, it was also important for us to share, in fact, the things we are discussing about. It's to be able to invite people to conversations that we have between us that are concerned by the links between the past and the future through our present, through our conversation and our ability to, you know, transcend spaces and find, you know, solution through creativity and through care for what is now.
Yeah, and so many writers have you know, been a part of those conversations you asked earlier. But yeah, I'm thinking of people like Sadia Hartman, Sylvia Winter, Louis Soto Chauke, Octavia Butler, of course. There's a long list of people that have you know, focused on making those connections and that are part of this living room conversations that we have amongst ourselves that we found ways to bring into, you know, the discussion, because the film is is also that it's meant to be, you know, a part of the ongoing social dialogue that is already happening. You know, it's yeah. So it's inspired by all those different angles and directions.
I'd like to talk a little bit about why you guys chose Burundi and go back to something you've both been saying about this. I think the power of the land, right? You know, when we talk about technology now, people generally think of like their smartphones, they think of the internet, they think of these things that allow us to be everywhere and kind of nowhere all at once. And, you know, we are so divorced from our immediate environment through these things, you know. But going back to Saul, what you said about the phone on the table and is the body, maybe, you know, the idea of the body can be charged.
Our ancestors powering, like, you know, like, yeah, it's powering these systems, you know, like we ignore the obvious. You know, I mean, like you get excited because you can order something at home, but there are people in a factory, there are people packing, boxing, shipping, you know, handling all the work so that it feels like the technology is really advanced. But until those people are paid properly, until the unions ensure that everyone is paid fairly, until, you know, the people that, you know, there are those people who would never dream of taking those jobs and other people who can only, you know, take those jobs, and we all play into this system that allows us to think that just swiping one way or another is a sign of advancement. But, you know, like we say it very clearly in the film, we are the technology. Technology is a reflection of human consciousness and awareness. And yes, it's true that places like Rwanda, Burundi, the Congo, Nigeria, I mean, the list goes on. There's a history to this. There's a history to the things that we take for granted, you know, like saying, I can't start my day without my coffee. Okay, but where does that coffee come from? Where does the sugar come from? Where does the oil come from? Where does the materials in your phone and in your computer and in your gaming device and in your electric car and all of these things, where does it come from? You know, and we know the answers to this, but it's not comfortable to think about the answers. You know, it's not comfortable. And so, yeah, but what's crazy is that, you know, our film is not a documentary. It's actually a joyful celebration of Black ingenuity, of the power that lies within us. And also it introduces a number of amazing actors and talent and costume designers and production designers, all from the continent, all from Rwanda and Burundi, where we shot it. And so it's also showcasing a new generation of talent. And that way, I think it's a gift, you know, for us here in this country, because it allows us to even bask in, you know, African languages that we don't hear unless, you know, we happen to be in certain communities that connect us to it, you know. But otherwise, we operate in a system that says this thing isn't going to sell unless it's in English. This thing isn't going to sell unless there's a star in it, blah, blah, blah.
So the film itself, just I want to watch it on the big screen, because I've been told by multiple people you have to see this on the big screen. So watching the teaser and talking to you guys, it seems like it was such a creatively incredible thing to make. You know, you said the costume designers, the aesthetics, and all of these choices, these creative choices you guys make. I'd love to know about you guys working with each other, how you felt about the making of the film. And
it was like very, you know, it's very organic the way we work together. But most of all, I think we shared like stories and discussions and really worked towards translating them into music, into images, and into a story that would touch everybody. That was the overall idea.
Yeah.
It was to start from our, you know, from our heart.
Yeah.
To see what responds to each other, and from there to see if that heart could beat and reverberate towards everybody.
Yeah.
And what what is great is that when you work together like that, for me at least, is that you kind of feel that you're expanding the field of, you know, your understanding.
Truly. I mean, like, there's no way that a film like this could be accomplished without, you know, our works worlds combined. And navigating that through public spaces is always weird, right? Because let's say your listeners are familiar with me and they want to attribute something. And it's like that the idea of these connections, of these stories, even the story we're telling is, it's about the connection of these people and what is born through connection. And so the idea of connection and collaboration is woven through this piece. I mean, like, we did work on Kickstarter, right? Where we started raising like excitement around the film so that we could protect the idea of the film. But before we even did that, when we went to Rwanda in 2016 to shoot the sizzle reel, the excitement of the cast, the excitement of the people that we connected with then, and we met more than half of our cast and crew on that first trip to shoot the sizzle reel, is that energy and the connection with all of them helped propel the vision. So the making of the film in terms of collaboration actually is reflected in the film itself, because it really is about what happens when those minds, hearts, spirits, and powers are combined.
And I think the idea of also, you were talking about seeing it on the big screen. I was just seeing this morning our sound designer, you know, telling people, please go see this on a big screen, because there is a beautiful, amazing also collaboration in terms of music and sound and the scale of that.
The scale of the images as well. I mean, every aspect of the film, first of all, is if you can experience it on the big screen, which was our intention, that's why we press it. We know there's a pandemic. We know that everyone feels safe coming out. And of course, we respect that. And people will eventually have the opportunity to see it at home. But we also know that people are venturing out, right? And if you want to venture out for something, I promise you, like, to be able to go out and feel fed is, and I think it's very different to go out and feel fed than to go out and just feel like, oh, that was so funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's something, I think there is something special that resonates throughout the film that can touch, that can heal, that can uplift, that can inspire.
And make you dance.
Yeah. The full screen, full body immersion, surround sound, all of that is really worth it.
Yeah, I love that you guys went into that, because, you know, we talk about this a lot with live music, right? Like, the difference in being in the crowd with these other people, having, you know, watching an artist really touch you. I don't think we do it enough when we're talking about films either. If you've ever been in a theater, will people get up and clap to the film at the end of it because they were that moved? That is a really special experience. And with every guys, what you guys have been talking about, it seems like this film in particular could really, watching it with other people, can really start a whole new energy.
Certainly. I mean, one thing we can guarantee for any viewer who is listening now, you've never seen anything like it. That we know.
Some of the music soundtrack from Neptune Frost. The film opens tonight at Cinema Detroit, right here in the Cast Corridor. Culture Chef's Amanda LeClaire spoke with some of the creatives behind it, Saul Williams, Anicia Usuman. It's a piece of Afro-futuristic musical. It's called Neptune Frost again, opening tonight at Cinema Detroit in the Cass Corridor. It's one of the songs from that movie, People on the Moon. You're hearing it right now on Culture Shifts. Nani